Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. We've got a lot of questions from you, the viewer. So today we're going to dedicate our entire program answering your questions.
Yep. And Mona, before we start, two things. Number one, have you ever told us how you became a Christian?
I don't think so.
How did you come to know Christ?
Well, you know, we went to church since I was just a young little girl. I can't remember a time that we didn't attend church weekly.
Yeah.
And it was very important. And we attended a Lutheran church, and we had many, many pastors that were just in the gospel.
Yes.
They preached the word of
yes.
God. It was important to me.
Yeah, you went to a good Lutheran church
we
growing up.
We did. I was very blessed.
Very biblical. Well, that's good to hear.
Yes.
Okay, and before we start the Q&A, somebody wrote in, Tom, how come you pray before your sermon, but when you do a Q&A show, when I watched it, you didn't pray first? So let's pray. Father, we do pray for your Holy Spirit now to speak to us as we go through all these questions people have, and that you would teach us now out of your word. We ask this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
Amen. Well, our first question
yes.
today. I live in Boise, Idaho, and I would like to find a Lutheran church, but I don't want to choose the wrong one. I remember you said there is a difference in Lutheran churches.
Yeah.
What should I be looking for?
Mona, you and I and the congregation that we were at left the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. It's the largest Lutheran church, and it's radically liberal now. Mm-hmm. I encourage everybody to leave it because of transgender bishop, practicing homosexual pastors. They pay for abortions with offering dollars mm-hmm. in the ELCA. So I'd stay away from an ELCA Lutheran church, but the Missouri Synod Lutheran Church is still very biblical. There's a group I really like called the Association of Free Lutheran Congregations. Wisconsin Synod is biblical. So, and then there's a group called the LCMC. These are the churches that have left the ELCA mostly and have joined their own body because they too want to stay biblical. Now, LCMC ordains women and has women pastors, which I don't believe in, 1 Timothy chapter 2. But they're, other than that, they're a good group. There's something called the North American Lutheran Church. These also tend to be people that have left the ELCA because they want to stay biblical. Again, mm-hmm. that group ordains women. Other than that, though, they're good. But I like the Missouri Synod, the AFLC Lutherans, so there you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next question. What is the purpose of fasting?
You know, there's fasting in the Old and New Testament, and like I've said before, Jesus didn't say, if you fast. He said, when you fast, do it this way. Don't be real public about it and showy off about it. So in the Old Testament, when people would, the army is coming toward Israel, and the king calls for a fast, and they just, help, Lord. And so you fast when you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people fast to show repentance. They've committed a sin, and Lord, for 24 hours, I'm just going to not eat food. What I do when I fast, I got to admit, I don't fast as much as I used to, but you drink water, but you don't eat food. That's the way you do it. And sometimes people just want to seek the Lord about something. Mm-hmm. So, Lord, I'm just going to fast for a while here and seek you. And it's concentrating. It's kind of saying, God, I know you're my food. You're my provider, not, you know, Twinkies or something.
Do you have to fast for days? Can you do
Jesus fasted 40 days mm-hmm. in the wilderness. I think that was kind of supernatural, though. I think you got to make sure your doctor's okay with this. But a lot of people can go for 3 days, 5 days, drinking water, but not eating food. I think it's more normal to do a 24-hour period, but yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
Why was circumcision a part of the Christian faith? Did God command it? And if so, why?
Yeah. 2000 BC is Abraham. God starts the chosen people, the Jews, with Abraham. Mm-hmm. And God gave circumcision to Abraham and said, I want you to circumcise your sons, and that's the sign you're the chosen people. So the Jews did that. Christianity comes along. Paul the Apostle, who was Jewish, has a fight, and they had their first in-church fight about this. Some people were insisting, if you become a Christian, you have to get circumcised. Mm. And Paul the Apostle, who was Jewish, says, no, you don't. It's Christ that saves us, not circumcision. Mm-hmm. And he wrote the whole book of Galatians to hammer that truth home. So, Mona, Christians do not need to be circumcised. And it was an Old Testament thing. It's kind of like we can eat pork in the New Testament because Mark chapter 7, Jesus declared all foods clean. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we don't kill lambs when we sin like they did in the Old Testament. Some of the things that were given to the Jews were just for the Jews until Christ came along. And then Jesus is our Lamb of God, so we don't have to sacrifice lambs. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did I hear you correctly a few weeks ago when you said that Satan can answer prayers? If so, can you give me a verse on that?
No, Satan does not answer our prayers. I think she got this verse confused. I said, Satan can appear as an angel of light. And that comes from, is it 2 Corinthians 11? Where Paul says Satan can appear as an angel of light. And he's talking about, you know, there's false teachers in the church. They can appear really like wonderful people, but they're leading people to hell. So that was the verse. I think she kind of got that mixed up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have a church that you preach at on Sunday mornings? If so, where would that be? I'd like to attend.
Yep. I was at the church you and your husband attended. I was the pastor there for 29 years, which is kind of unusual. Most pastors move around more, but it was such a wonderful church and still is. But no, I don't preach over a church anymore. I attend a church regularly, but now I just do the TV show and this is enough. So there you go.
All right. How can I get the tracts that you hand out?
Yeah. You know, I've had a couple people ask, where are they? I brought it. Here we go. Mona, I encourage people to buy a ton of these. And you just, they're called the Four Spiritual Laws. And you just dial this phone number and just say, you know, I'd like to, they come in packs of 50s. And I'm sorry, I forgot to look this up. And basically, you dial this phone number, and I'm sorry, everybody. I was going to do this before the show, and I forgot. Okay, just dial 800-827-2788. I'll say it again, 800-827-2788. I have a ton of these, and you can get rid of them all kinds of ways. When you leave a tip, and if you're going to do this, leave a good tip, but you leave a tip at a restaurant and say, thanks for the good service, and then you give them a salvation tract. You read it to your kids. You know, you give them to your Sunday school class. If you're out and about and it seems right to hand it to somebody. So that's how you get those.
Good ideas.
Yeah.
We have spent much money at our church on new flooring, carpeting, sound system, parking lot, none of which I believe put souls into the kingdom. What are your thoughts on this?
I got to admit, if I'm going to give $5,000 to something, I'm much more excited to give it overseas to save some village that has never heard the gospel than to pay $5,000 for new carpeting in the church. I got to admit, that's the way I am. But the truth is, some churches need to get revamped in order to serve the community. So I think there's a balance. I think we should have nice churches. I don't think we should have ridiculously nice churches. Just have a nice place, et cetera, and serve the Lord. But I love it when every church should support missions. And I hope your church has missionaries they support. Some churches don't. I think that's awful. So make sure you at least make sure you're supporting some missionaries in the field.
Amen.
Yeah.
How much does it cost to put your TV program on per week?
Yeah. Mona, we used to be just on in Minneapolis, and it cost $8,000 a year. Today, with all the stations we've added, we spend, and this is just for adding airtime, we spend $700,000 a year now on our airtime. And so if you do the math, it's about $13,000 a week. So that's why everybody pray for us, because the nest egg goes down and then it goes up, but if it goes down enough, we have to cut some stations. So pray for us and be a generous giver if the Lord leads.
And God's been good.
God's been good. Yeah, so there we go.
Next question. When Jesus died and descended into hell, did he offer salvation to those who were there and take them back with him to heaven if they accepted him?
No. It never says that. All it says in the First Peter is that Jesus went and he preached to the spirits in prison who were alive during Noah's mm-hmm. flood. That's all it says. It never says he gave him a sign. He made proclamation. Mm-hmm. You know, I think proclaiming his victory over death. I don't think there's any second. I think if you don't accept Christ before you die, it's over. Mm-hmm. There's no verse that I know of. In fact, Jesus said when the householder gets up and closes the door, people are going to knock on the door saying, you know, let us in. Didn't we do all this stuff? Nope. It's too late. So, no, you have to accept Christ before you die.
No second chances.
No.
Okay. Is gambling a sin? I heard someone say it must be okay because of casting of lots in the Old Testament.
Well, full disclosure, my dad ran the horse racetrack in Omaha, and mm-hmm. dad's salary put me through college. So is gambling a sin? I'm going to try to be objective on this because I worked at the racetrack too as a kid. I don't know a verse that says it's a sin to gamble. I don't think casting of lots has anything to do with gambling. Casting of lots was in the Old Testament when, you know, the Urim and Thummim that was in the breastplate of the high priest, and they would cast lots. And in Proverbs it says, the lot is cast into the lap, but it's every decision is for the Lord. So God does control even lots. And you do have one instance of people, well, actually, the soldiers cast lots over who was going to get Jesus' mm-hmm. robe, but that wasn't a Christian thing. But when it came down to replacing Judas, mm-hmm. there were two men who came forward, and they didn't know who to choose, and so they cast lots. Mm-hmm. That's in Acts chapter 1, I think. But you never hear it about it again. Yeah. So my opinion is, if you're not sure whether to go to California or stay in Minneapolis, I wouldn't cast lots. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't. Lord, should I marry this person or that person? And I wouldn't open and point to the Bible. You know, don't do that kind of thing. Just pray and trust the Lord will guide you. So you can't forbid it because it is in the Old Testament. It's once in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. But again, you never hear about it again after Acts chapter 1.
Okay.
So there you go. Oh, but the question was gambling.
Yeah, it says, is gambling a sin?
Okay, is it okay for me to go to the casino? Mm-hmm. Is it okay to go to the horse racetrack? Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you my opinion. I think we need to be very careful. Mm-hmm. Certain people are addicted to this, mm-hmm. and I think we need to be very, very careful. I'm not going to say it's a sin to take $30 and go to the horse racetrack on a rare moon. Mm-hmm. But to go every day and spend hundreds or mm-hmm. to go to the casinos, and I'm sorry, because if you've ever walked, sometimes I go to a casino to eat at the buffet, and I'll walk through the casino, and it's so depressing mm-hmm. to see all these people just going like this. And it's just, I'm thinking, there's got to be more to life than this. Mm-hmm. So I'm not willing to say it's a sin in every instance, but you've got to be very careful, and if you're going to do it, be rare about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next question. Was Martin Luther an anti-Semite?
Martin Luther thought when he got the gospel right, that we're saved by grace and not by good works, he thought the Jews then would convert to Christ. Because, you know, Luther was a Roman Catholic, and then they kicked him out of the Roman Catholic Church. But Luther preached, we're saved by grace, by the cross alone, and not by good works. And Luther thought, that's going to be such good news that Jews will convert. They didn't. And he got angry. And Luther said some horrible things about the Jews. And so Luther was not perfect by any means. So, yeah, he said some bad things about Judaism, about the Jews.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you expect a wife to stay with her abusive and violent husband? Or does she do the right thing by fleeing to a safe place and having a much better relationship by finding a new husband? You said on television that she should not remarry if she divorced her husband. Please explain why you want her to stay married to someone who was abusing to her. Or should she not remarry if she divorced her husband?
All right, my answer to this is not my answer. It comes from 1 Corinthians 7, where the Apostle Paul says, 1 Corinthians 7, read the chapter, 1 Corinthians 7, don't get divorced. But if you do, stay single or be reconciled to your spouse. I think the words, but if you do, I think mm-hmm. Paul envisions, if it's unsafe for you to be in the house, get out of there, mm-hmm. you know. So there are. I can understand divorce. I don't believe in remarriage and second marriage, just because Jesus said if you divorce somebody and marry somebody new, you're committing adultery. Mm-hmm. Jesus said that. So
What about those couples that have remarried and are in the church?
Yeah,
and
right.
What do you think?
So what do you do? Do they get divorced and stay mm-hmm. single? I'm going to give you my thought on this. Paul in 1 Corinthians 6 says to the Corinthians, some of you were adulterers, but you were washed, you were justified through Christ, etc. So my advice, I hope I'm right, if you've gotten remarried, I'd ask God's forgiveness for that because that was not his will, but I'd stay in the marriage, ask God to bless it and forgive and move on. That's what I would say.
Okay.
Yeah.
If a woman is beaten, raped, humiliated by her husband, and she gets a divorce from him and then finds a wonderful man who loves her and treats her very well, do you think she should stay single for the rest of her life? Nowhere that I can find in the Bible does it say you should never remarry after divorce. I've been married 50 years to my second husband, and he's a wonderful man, and we have a good marriage. And I can't believe God would have wanted me to stay single after leaving a very ungodly and abusive man.
Okay. So everybody get out your pencil and look up these verses. Luke 16, verse 18, Matthew 19, verse 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 11, where Jesus and the Apostle Paul speak against remarriage. Mm-hmm. So should she have done what she did? I don't think she should have. Now, can God have grace and mercy? Yes. But if somebody comes to me and they're divorced and they want me to marry them to somebody new, I can't do it. Mm-hmm. And you know, the other thing is, she had a second marriage. There's enough. We have a lot of divorce in America is one of the worst in the world, our rate. Mm-hmm. Second marriages have a huge rate of divorce. So don't think getting remarried to somebody new is going to be the answer. Normally it isn't. Mm. So I just again, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 11, Matthew 19:9, Luke 16:18. So there you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another question from a viewer. I know someone follows the prophet William Branham. What can you tell me about this group?
I had to look that one up. And William Branham died in 1965. He predicted the world would end in 1975. He taught a heresy called modalism. Mm-hmm. That is, the three persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are temporary manifestations of the one God. Sometimes he's the Father, sometimes he's the Son, God is always one God and three eternal persons. God is always Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And he taught what's called the serpent seed doctrine, that Eve's sin in the Garden of Eden is that she had sex with the snake. That's nowhere in the Bible. He also taught what's called annihilationism, mm-hmm. that there is no eternal hell. When you die, you just get wiped out. He also taught that the Zodiac and Egyptian pyramids are equal to written scripture. Hmm. So if you come across somebody on TV, and there's a few of them, that you wonder, where's this guy coming from? What I like to do, you type in William Branham cult and see what you get, or false teacher, see what you get. Because a lot of Christians have done work on this. I didn't even know who this was. Hmm. So there you go.
Never heard of him.
Yeah.
What do you think of Arnold Murray and the Shepherd's Chapel?
Well, Arnold Murray died, and now his son is the preacher on TV. I don't know if you've seen him, but he kind of just sits at a table. But he also endorses that serpent seed thing where Eve had sex with the snake. He also had the Trinity messed up on teaching modalism again. And so I would stay away from the Shepherd's Chapel. And I get people writing me on this, but type in Arnold Murray false teaching, and see what you get. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Please recommend a book to read to help me understand the book of Revelation.
Book of Revelation is the most difficult verse of the Bible to interpret because it's a big vision John has about the end of time. Mm-hmm. And how do you interpret all this? So it's a hard one. What I would tell her, buy something called the ESV, English Standard Version, the ESV Study Bible, and read the book of Revelation. On the bottom of each page are notes explaining the difficult verse. Mm-hmm. And it's a good version because they're very fair. And they'll say, some Christians understand this verse to mean this, others mean it to mean this, and they're very balanced and fair. So I'd get the ESV Study Bible, not just for Revelation, but for the whole book. It's a good investment.
Okay.
Yeah.
I go to an ELCA Lutheran church, and I believe the biblical basis of the actual ELCA churches is solid, as it takes in the whole of the Bible's teaching. From your show, I wonder if you can say the same. From your statements, you focus and pick certain passages, and then do not give others as much weight.
Yeah, so he thinks the ELCA is a wonderful church because, and I think his point was, you know, you the ELCA looks at all the Bible, and you just look at the verses that are against homosexuality. And my response is, okay, yeah, there are about 9 verses against homosexuality in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Show me one that's for it. You can't find it. So I don't think they're being balanced.
Okay.
So, and a little segue here. A few months ago, I read on this program the ELCA Lutheran Church in Edina, Minnesota, mm-hmm. that read the Sparkle Creed mm-hmm. during Gay Lesbian Month. I'm gonna read just a couple sentences from the Sparkle Creed. If this guy thinks the ELCA is a solid biblical denomination, listen to this. I believe in the non-binary God whose pronouns are plural. I believe in Jesus Christ, their child, who wore a fabulous tunic and had 2 dads and saw everyone as a sibling child of God. I believe in the rainbow spirit. I believe the call is for each of us that love is love is love. Mm-hmm. All right. Horrible as that is, mm-hmm. the bishop of Minneapolis of the ELCA Church responded to this. And I would have hoped I went to seminary with her, I would have hoped she would have said, that's nuts. Mm-hmm. Here's what she said. Here's what the bishop whose job is to say to this church, you repent of that. Mm-hmm. She did. Here's what she said. She called it a healthy church. She says the congregation is, quote, witnessing to God's love and justice at God's welcome table and in the world. The bishop does say probably they shouldn't have used, she implies they shouldn't have used the word creed for this thing. But then she says, no rebuke whatsoever for the content of the thing. And still, she says, quote, what is most stunning to me is that an element of a worship service could cause such a response, because people were very upset. This hit the national news.
Mm-hmm.
And she, and there were threats, which are awful. And should cause such a response, including these threats. The bishop calls for empathy for the church. Pray for the church as we both affirm our ecumenical creeds and explore together new ways to speak the faith in the 21st century. Are we supposed to seek new ways? I mean, here's what Jude 3 says. Christians should contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. Amen. And Jude 4, the next verse says, certain individuals have secretly slipped in among you. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality. They deny Jesus as our only sovereign and Lord. I'm sorry. That's the definition of the ELCA these days. I'm not saying there aren't pastors and specific congregations that aren't still following the Lord, because there are. Mm-hmm. But wow, when you've got bishops promoting this mm-hmm. crud, defending this crud, mm-hmm. I don't think the ELCA is on solid ground at all, mm-hmm. which is why we left.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. From an ELCA Lutheran pastor, I believe pastors like you are a true danger. The trouble is you put it forth, your view, as the one and only truth and deny any other view. I wonder how many people you have excluded from the love of God by preaching in this negative, judgmental, and condemning way. Would it not be better to preach God's love and grace than how you see others as bad or evil? Isn't that what we are called to do? Spread the good news, not fear and hate?
I see everybody as bad and evil, including Tom Brock. Mm-hmm. We're all sinners. We're all evil. And this pastor went to my seminary. And what I was taught when I was at Luther Seminary is we are to preach the law and the gospel. Not just the gospel, mm-hmm. not just the good news. First, you got to preach the law, the bad news, that God's laws condemn you, but then you can be forgiven through Christ's death on the cross. Mm-hmm. So we're always to preach. If you just preach law, you become a Pharisee and a legalist. Mm-hmm. If you just preach grace and the gospel, you become the mushy ELCA. Paul the Apostle, when he wrote Romans, the first 3 chapters of Romans are the law, mm-hmm. and it's heavy duty, and it's we're all condemned. Then he brings in chapter 3, but you can be saved through Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. You don't just preach the law. You don't just preach the gospel. You always preach both.
So, okay.
Yeah.
And from the same pastor.
Yeah.
I used to believe, like you, that we should not change the Lord's Prayer to pray to God as mother. But after talking with some female students, if making the change helps make them feel more included, why not? It does nothing to harm you or me.
I disagree. Jesus called God our Father, who on earth are we to improve upon Jesus Christ like we know more than he does?
Amen.
And if people feel hurt that we call God Father, sorry, Jesus called God Father. You know, can we please follow Scripture and not follow people's feelings?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would much rather stick with the truth of Scripture than make everybody feel good. Because you're not doing them a favor by making them feel good. They need to repent and believe in what Christ said.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Is it possible that Jesus was married to Mary Magdalene?
No. Sometimes you see these awful TV shows about the real Jesus Christ, and they'll say crazy things like this. No, there's nothing in Scripture about Jesus marrying Mary Magdalene. No.
Okay.
Yeah.
If someone says, oh my God, should I correct them?
That's a hard one. I sometimes do, and then sometimes I don't. I think you just got to pray, Lord, what do I do in this instance? And some lady wrote and said, when somebody says, oh my God, she'll stop and say, is he really your God?
Oh.
But anyway, so yeah.
All right. Why did Old Testament believers offer sacrifices if they didn't really work?
Well, because they were pointing to the sacrifice that would work, which is the cross. Mm-hmm. The Lamb of God in the Old Testament foreshadowed the Lamb of God, Jesus, on the cross. They worked in the sense that they pointed to the Christ that was to come. But the sacrifice that ultimately saves is only Christ on the cross.
Amen.
Yeah.
Pastor Brock, you seem to believe in such an angry God. I believe in a God of love.
I got a lot of fun mail this week, didn't I? All right. So here's my response to that. God is both. He's a God of wrath. And he's a God of love. I'm going to read Psalm 7, verse 11. God is a righteous God, a God who has indignation every day. If a man does not repent, God will sharpen his sword. He has bent his bow and made it ready. So yes, God is a God of wrath, but he's also a God of mercy and forgiveness because he provides the propitiation for the sins of the world in Romans chapter 3. So yes, God's a God of wrath, but if you come to him and believe in Christ, the love of God is there for you.
Okay. Yeah, I think we got time for one more.
All right, last one.
Is worry a sin? Someone told me if I pray for something and then worry about it, it cancels out my prayer. Is this true?
I don't think so, because I don't think God would answer any of our prayers. Because do you know any Christian that never worries anymore? Mm-hmm. I don't. So I think worry is a sin often. Being intensely concerned about something is good. But to worry and take it out of God's hands and I'm going to fix this, that's where you get into sin. But God is merciful, and if you worry, he's not going to cancel out all your prayers.
Amen.
There we go. Well, everybody, this is the end of the show. Thanks for all your questions. Pray for us. Go to pastorstudy.org if you want to watch these shows for free at any time, and God bless.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.